Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Dallas, people, you're stupid.
It's John and Lance.
That's stupid as crap. Dumb, dumb, dumb.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Highland Pines Golf Club in Porter. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN. 975-713-780-3776 is the number. If you'd like to get in here, come on, hang out with us. You are more than welcome to get in. We've been taking the calls. We actually are the shortest wait times in the history of the show.
We are, and that's been known for a long time.
Yes. No. Everybody knows it.
Everybody knows it.
Yep. So get in here and let's go. 713-780-3776 is the number. I was just watching a guy talking about Buzz Williams, and it's amazing.
That's Gary Parrish from CBS, I'm pretty sure.
Was it Gary Parrish?
The six-year thing? I think that was Gary Parrish, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Gary Parrish, Gary Parrish. Okay. He says, Buzz says this. I'm out of here. Listen, here's what happens. You take the job. The team really stinks. They're in last place in their conference. You take the job. You get up to third place. Then the next year you go to sixth place. Well, they don't remember the last place. The last place when you took it over, what they remember is you were in third place. Now you're in sixth place, so you suck. Okay? So he's like.
Well, he said you reset. Is that the one where you reset the. You reset expectations, yeah.
You reset expectations, and so you got to get out of there. You got to leave because the expectations aren't, oh, look what you did with this program, how you increased it. It's, oh, no, you're not as good as you were last year, so you suck, and we're going to fire you. When they get good, they're in the NCAA tournament, everything's great, I'm out of here. I'm gone. So let me go take a new job.
Well, that's what he said. Really he did like Marquette. Over there. And Marquette, take a mid-major
Tech.
Up, and then there's only so far you can go. Then he said, I take Virginia Tech from last place to the middle, but then after that, everyone, there's only so far you can go, and expectations reset on you. So then you take the next job, which would be Texas A&M. And Gary Parrish is like, that's Buzz's MO, is that once you get to a seventh year, basically, after 6 years, whatever your seventh year is, generally speaking, expectations really reset on you. There's probably some truth to it. You don't – like, I'm sure Buzz would never admit to, yeah, I'm going to leave after seven. I mean, that's certainly not a good look for recruiting and things like that. But that has happened for him. I mean, it's actually happened at three schools now.
Yep.
Now, you could understand Marquette to a mid-major to a major, and then you go from Virginia Tech to A&M. Those are all very understandable moves. You're moving upward. So I totally understand that. I think a lot of people looked at the A&M to Maryland move as kind of a lateral move, except for the fact that Maryland – maybe considered a basketball school, I guess, and A&M is a football school. Resources are going to be a lot higher at Texas A&M. You got a lot more money, a lot better resources than Maryland. But I thought that was interesting listening to that.
Yep, that was. I was like, wow, that's a pretty. You know what? And because you're wondering why would he leave A&M? Things are going well, and that's just his master plan. Guess what?
Didn't you say they didn't want him at A&M?
Well, they didn't. There were a lot of guys that didn't love him.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe he did. I don't know. But did he fail at Marquette? Did he fail at Virginia Tech? I mean, it's what the guy does. It's just what he does. And apparently, he's quoted as saying, "Yeah, you got to get out of there. Yeah, it's a 6-year plan. That's it. I'm out." So okay, all right.
Buzz Williams' offense made Kelvin Sampson's offense look like the Lake Show. That's rude.
No, I'm telling you, the Aggies did not like him. I'm telling you. Well, they were the worst shooting team in basketball, though.
Well, they were the worst. They were legitimately, terrible. Sampson's offense was way better this year. It did have a – even though they shot better, it did get bogged down. And you know what? I think that's just the nature of playing hard defense. You just, in any sport where you have to play two ways, I mean, a true two-way football. Well, football is not individual two-way, but it seems like good, really good defensive football teams are not good offensively. It's always been that way. And really good defensive teams in basketball are not good offensively. It's just like maybe it's the energy you expend or whatever the case may be. But I don't know. Houston's never been considered a good offensive team, but they shot better this year. But they were never – like they weren't what I would call a fluid, fun offense. And I'm not sure that you can have it both ways. I don't know that you can have that in conjunction with the type of defense they play. You just never see. I mean, do you ever remember that?
No.
I mean, what, the Bulls, the Chicago Bulls, there were some Warrior teams that were better defensively than people gave them credit for, I'm sure. They're really good on offense. But how many teams can you think of? I remember, I always think of the Bears were actually kind of an average offensive team with Jim McMahon. They just had Walter Payton. When you're talking about, you know, dominant, of course, the Ravens in 2000 are known as
Iowa.
Dominant. They had, I mean, wherever you want to look.
They were less offensively than that.
Wherever you want to look, it's almost rarely are you good offensively if you're great defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, the Ravens of 2000 were, you know, they were not good.
I think you can find it on the college football level.
Did you think that Bofa choked, John, down the stretch?
That what?
The Bofa choke down the stretch?
That Bofa choke? The Cougs choked?
No, Bofa these nuts.
What are you doing?
I just want to see if I could get John with a Bofa.
What are you doing?
I never heard Bofa.
You never heard of
You never heard Bofa?
Bofa
these nuts.
Look where you are, sir.
What? I'm in here. No one's
here.
Really.
You're at a mercy.
Look where you are.
You got priests and pastors and
no, I don't
all,
see any of that here,
and
actually.
You're dropping Bofas.
No, no one's here. It's easy to say.
Brian is on hold. Let's get him in here. Hey, Brian, what's going
God
on?
In here.
Okay.
God is here. God is there. At
if
Highland
you
Pines
say
Center.
It quiet, what's, I'm saying it quiet.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, man?
What's going on, Brian?
Hey, first of all, y'all definitely don't have shorter wait times than Dale Show.
Thank you.
Baloney.
What?
Dale Show is
coming to the show.
Is a wait for, it's like you're at the hospital, though. When you're waiting for Dale's show, it's like you're at the hospital.
It's better than the hospice that is this show.
So
what's up, man?
I wanted to make an analogy, and Lance, you may know what I'm talking about since you have younger kids. Do you know these videos that they watch sometimes that they say it causes brain rot? You know what I'm talking about?
Which one?
Which ones?
Well, it's these insanely sporadic videos that has no, like, point to them. It's completely, like, it just erratic. There's no point. There's no rhyme. There's no rhythm to it whatsoever. And they call it brain rot. I've got some kids that I try to make sure they don't watch stupid videos like that.
I don't know. But, I'll have to ask about it.
No,
because
never heard
they'll
of it.
Probably know it if there's
already a term. They said it's brain rot videos. There's no point to them. It's just completely sporadic.
And sounds that's like 2005.
It sounds just like the Cougars' offense. It has no, like, I don't remember last night. I'm sure there was, but only play I can remember, like a set play that actually worked, was when Pryor hit the corner three. All the way down to the last play of the game. How do you come out of a timeout, the biggest play in the entire year, maybe of your entire history? You're supposed to have the go-to play that you've either saved, that you know is going to work, or the play that has worked for you 100 times, and that's your go-to play. They come out of the timeout with knowing the season's over, and they do that. The offense was so bad, it was unwatchable. It like made my eye twitch. And this was their best offense that Samson's had. I don't know who calls offense, like who's in charge of the offense or whatnot, but Their offense is unwatchable. It's completely opposite of their defense. But
their I don't know about unwatchable. I mean, I don't know. I love that play where LJ got open in the corner and just threw up. That was great. That was a great inbounds play. There wasn't enough of that, that's for sure. It's a little bit more difficult to draw up a play when you're inbounding from your own baseline. I mean, It's not like you've got a play when you're on the side or behind your own basket. It's or behind their basket. You have to bring the ball up, and they tried to set picks. I watched the play over. I watched it like 15 times. They tried to set picks and nothing. Florida was having nothing of their picks. It was pitiful. Javier was trying to set one. Jawan was trying to set one. They're weaving out top, and they could not. They could not break any. There was nowhere to go. So, I mean, I don't know what you wanted them to do. Did Calvin supposed to make up some kind of magical, I don't know what. But this is what they do. And they've got good shooters from the outside. Sharp is a 40% three-point shooter. 40. And he couldn't get one up. He was right. Kelvin was right. He should have pump faked. But that's easily said afterwards. But they didn't. It's not as easy as you're making it out to be. That, oh, well, there no play. Well, I mean, sometimes the other team plays good defense. 615 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Hey, this is big. Ford has just launched its From America for America campaign. Employee pricing to the public through June 2nd. They're going to pair that with the biggest selling points at Chastain Ford, which are no dealer add-ons, no markups ever. So you get employee pricing, okay? It's for everyone, and Chastain Ford is going to do it correctly with no dealer add-ons. You pay what a Ford employee pays. That's the A plan, and Chastain Ford makes sure there's no markup, no extras, no BS, okay? While other dealers stack on fees, Chastain Ford keeps it honest and straightforward, transparent. When you buy a truck or SUV or car, employee pricing for everyone. No dealer add-ons or hidden fees. It's how truck buying should be right now at Chastain Ford. Let's get there. Any truck or SUV, you've got employee pricing. Get there now. Get there. All right? It's Chastain Ford on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead. ChastainFord.com. You can do it all online. ChastainFord.com. All right. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776.
You may be surprised at this. So Childish Altuve says, I'm 100% sure that Mason, my son, who thinks he's better than Bob Cousy and his prime, is better at basketball than Condon from Florida. I would put that on John and his dead homies. Dell pointed out that – now, Condon was probably the most scared I've ever seen a player on a court, like that wasn't playing against Angleton with their double nets whenever they used to press you 94 feet in high school when I played them. No one wanted to go play Angleton. I've seen scared players on the court before in non-college and pro settings. I don't think I've ever seen anyone as nervous and frightened as I have Condon, at least in the first half, where he had, like, I don't know what, three travels? He had two travels at least, maybe three.
Yeah.
I thought he was terrible. And then Dell pointed out his box score. Read his box score. This is unbelievable. I thought he was atrocious.
No.
And it turns out his box score was actually pretty good.
As you mentioned, the travels, he did have four turnovers, but he was 12, 7, and another four. He had four steals himself.
Yeah.
So he was the best big, certainly Florida's best big, and if we're talking about productivity, he was better than any Coug big except for Javier Francis. So he was a big part of why Florida won that game. Yeah, even though he looked, as you said, like a guy who didn't want to be out there until he kind of calmed down and was a force. So.
Yep. All right, let's get some calls. We said we would. Kevin, call back in. I know you just had to hang up there. Dan is on hold. Let's get him in here. Hey, Dan.
Yeah, no, this is Ben. But Ben, like Benjamin Franklin.
Ben.
Okay. But no, yeah. no. You could tell when last night, you could tell when the Coos guy's super cocky
and relax. You usually when teams do that, they start throwing up alley-oops and stuff, and, you know, you could tell, I mean, if you was paying attention, and I know it's part of the game, but you could tell they were super relaxed, like, we're going to win this game. But then, you know, when Florida turned it up, just like Houston did against Duke, when they turned it up, then things got all crazy for them. And also, the thing is, I don't understand, like, with the coaching part of it, I get it that you do a full-court press when you're down against Duke. He went into a full-court press, and they had problems. Duke had problems with getting the ball in. So why not do a full-court press when you're up? Go ahead and do a full-court press to stop the bleeding from Florida scoring. Go ahead and go into a full-court press and put pressure on them. And don't make it so easy for them when they're mounting a comeback against you. Put that full court press in so you can get some turnovers and easy buckets. And I'll hang up. And why not do a full court press?
Well, because you give up easy baskets with a full court press.
Yeah,
it's like blitzing. Like blitzing. If you don't get to the quarterback, now all of a sudden you've got one-on-one coverage, and if somebody gets beat, then you – I mean – There's
You'd rather rush with four. You'd rather rush with four.
Yes, you'd much rather rush with four. And the Cougs are so good at defensive and half-court defense that you don't have to full-court press.
Yeah, I don't know what. I'm kind of surprised, Ben, that you want to see, when the Cougs are up, you want to see them press when really
– expose yourself.
When really you were able to defend Clayton and make him take atrocious shots.
Yeah.
Even 30 feet from the basket. So I thought that I didn't see a need for that other than if you wanted to fatigue them. But you were only running an 8-man rotation anyway with just really, frankly, just two backcourt players off the bench, and Arsenal didn't even play that much. So I didn't see a need for it, honestly.
No.
I would have been okay with it if you needed it, if you needed something. But I didn't really – hey, you know what really sucked is when they threw the inbounds pass, Florida, at the end of that game – and they overthrew it, and I thought Houston was going to run it down. And instead, Aberdeen got to it. And then I thought he dragged his foot. I know he dragged his foot.
Well,
they claimed
he
got
fouled
before he drug his foot. Was it a serious foul? Like,
yeah,
I didn't notice a lot of –
He ran into him and knocked him out of bounds.
Knocked him
out of bounds, yeah.
Well, maybe he shouldn't have traveled first.
Well, I think that I'm knocking out of bounds. I didn't,
John, let me ask you a question. If you swing a bat – and the ball hits you on the hands when you swing your bat and you complete the swing. Is that a hit by pitch? It's too bad.
No.
So sad.
No.
That's the same thing with that one. You drag your foot first, then you got knocked out of bounds. Too bad, so sad. Traveling goes back the other way.
Yeah.
If the refs had any balls, they would have called that a traveling.
Yep.
You can't trust Lance's evaluation of anything. He watched it on his computer because he couldn't figure out the TV in the hotel room.
Yeah, we didn't have.
So
we didn't
was seeing things much smaller than everybody
I don't
else.
How, I still you haven't
Wait
really explained. I don't know how you had CBS.
Wait a minute.
I honestly don't.
You watched it on your computer?
He did not because the hotel has some hotel specific streaming service. But if you scroll down to, and I still remember the channel because I was wondering as
well.
Were
you on Guide?
I went to the Guide, and it told me.
Not on mine, it didn't.
I was worried, too, of how am I going to watch this game. And then I just kept scrolling. And
Thanks for texting.
Numbered. I didn't know you couldn't watch it. How am I supposed to know you can't
figure out? I did watch it. I watched it on my computer.
How am I supposed to know you can't figure out a TV? But I scrolled down. It said KHOU 10. It was Channel 10 on the streaming service.
Dell claims he heard me yelling at the TV.
No, because I know because you were ahead of me because you were watching it on your laptop. I could hear you, and it was ruining things. So I had to, turn up the television so you wouldn't ruin moments for me. Usually it was you reacting to bad things happening to the Cougs.
Yeah.
And I could also hear Lance's phone call with the guy who was yelling about Todd Goldenwith. So all I heard was, it was mumbly, but I knew he was talking in a very excited tone to someone through the walls.
Yeah.
It was
a disappointing night.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't see anything on your laptop. You can't find. channel. You can't find channel.
You can't
11.
Find
I
CBS.
Watch whole game.
He watched the whole game.
Just I watch whole game. It's just on a TV screen like we watched growing up.
Yeah, just on his laptop from like 8 years ago.
Was it
how old is that
white?
Laptop?
No, this is 2 years old.
Oh, 2 years old. Yeah. Okay.
It was better black and white. Too.
I watch. Don't worry. Bricks look the same on a laptop as they do on a big screen TV.
In fact, depending on your speaker, they might be more
actually,
impactful.
Yeah, like they were worse in your TV than mine. I'm watching like, ooh, that's a bad shot. You're looking at, ooh, that's an atrocious shot. All the big screen just did is just amplify the adjectives. That's all.
Well, let's get Todd in here. Hey, Todd, what's going on?
Hey, fellas. I got a few comments to make. I hate to do it. One's about the officials. I got to talk about the style of play. But first, and I'm just hope to God that those folks who would not let Akeem Olajuwon into the locker room after the Duke game allowed him in there after this one, because there are very, very few people that can talk to those kids about what had just happened to them and how to handle it. And I would think that Akeem Olajuwon would be one of the very few that could do that. So I hope he got a chance to do that. Second, again, I don't like crying about the refs. There's bad calls both ways, but number one, just that goaltending that wasn't called, right there, that's 2 points. That's a tie. And on that play, if you remember, they immediately grabbed the ball off the rim, ran the other way, knocked down a three. That's a 5-point turnaround right there. Lance, you are correct on that last call. That was a travel. But the one thing that worried the hell out of me was one of the announcers said this in the second half. They called some ticky-tack foul on somebody, and they said, well, you know, they're calling the second half a lot different than they're calling the first half. And a lot of our players – Four fouls, three fouls. And you guys know, even when you're in there with four fouls, especially with the style of play that UH plays, which you guys were talking about earlier, the defensive, hard-nosed, that when you're playing with four fouls, you're playing a lot differently than when you're playing with two fouls, especially late in the second half. And they weren't allowed to do that. And that made a huge difference in the game. And by the way, I get your analogy about defensive teams versus offensive teams. By the way, that analogy does not work in football, because football, there are different players playing offense and defense. But in basketball, if you play the game and you watch the way UH plays, it was the only way I can describe it. You would get this, Lance, is like men versus boys. I was watching Duke hold on for their dear life, tightening up their butt cheeks, hoping that clock would run out and they would still be up. They were scared. And even Florida looked that way. But when you take that away from that type of team, and then you get a team that once plays crisply and all that, that's how it ends up. And it ended up waiting for
it. Yeah, I think there's a lot there, but
Todd,
seeing Houston get tight, it's not the first time they've gotten tight at the end of a game.
No.
I mean, it's happened in this tournament.
No.
It's happened in this tournament. The Gonzaga game got too close, frankly.
Listen, they did not play their game. How many assists did the Cougs have last night?
Five. 5-14.
The lowest since 2020. The lowest number of assists.
Well, it was ISO ball, John. They didn't move the ball. It was all Harden ball.
Yeah, and they don't have James Harden.
No.
And they don't have James
exactly.
Harden. Right. It was very un-Coug-like. It was not a Coug. It was not them last night. And you know what? Give Florida credit, too, though. Give Florida a lot of credit. They were a really, really good. That was a really, really good basketball team. That's a really good team. All right. 7-3-7. They won the SEC, which is the best conference in basketball. It's not even arguable. The SEC was the best, and they won it. And guess what? They were the best. They were the best team. 713-780-3776. I'm talking about game day men's health now. I'm talking about feeling better. I'm talking about looking better. I'm talking about getting tighter. I'm talking about getting more swole. You want to build muscle, or do you want to lose weight? Do you want to just feel better? Do you want to have more focus? Do you want to sleep better? All of these things get attained. It's just being better all the way around. Are you starting to put on some pounds? Okay, and you're just not working out as good anymore. How about bouncing back? How about if you've got some kind of an injury? They've got a wavelength system that can help you. All right, whatever your issue is, we saw it out at the golf course. They're helping guys. You got an ankle problem? Not a problem. Elbow problem? Not a problem. Okay, Game Day Men's Health is just different. The technology is better. Labs and everyone. You got a free evaluation when you go there the first time. There's locations all over, and they're growing. Okay, so you're looking for the best way to get that testosterone replacement and more. GameDayMen'sHealth.com, GameDayMen'sHealth.com. Lance, did you know on this date, 15 years ago, Chase just sent me this. What a start to the day, having amazing breakfast tacos from Jake's, and then the ultimate, having John and Lance talk about HBU baseball on 1560 The Game. Solid morning. That was 15 years ago today. I didn't know we were celebrating that today, but thank you, Chase.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Now you do. 15 years ago.
Yeah.
One of the great days of his life.
Well, great days, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, Ricky, I don't want to hear that. Ricky's being ugly to people, which is not a good thing, which is a terrible thing. 713-780-3776 is the number. Adam Schefter put this out, Lance. Miami at 13, Arizona at 16, or Los Angeles at 26. What is he talking about?
Say it again.
Miami at 13, Arizona at 16, or Los Angeles at 26. Most likely, Saints at 9 or Pittsburgh at 21.
Oh, well, that's Jackson Dart.
That is Shedeur Sanders.
No. It's not going to be Saints or Steelers. I know that. That's Jackson Dart? Yeah.
And at the Dolphins, who have, like, one really playable defensive lineman or defensive tackle take a quarterback at that spot when there's no real avenues for them to get a defensive tackle?
And didn't you just lost?
Yeah, but Armstead, Falcons did it. Yeah, look at how it worked out for them.
No. Bell? Wait a minute. They legitimately don't even have defensive linemen.
They have defensive ends. They got plenty of those if they're healthy, but they have Zach Sealer, who's good, and then Benito Jones is barely playable. Those are the only defensive tackles who have any NFL experience.
I had to give them, in my mock, I had to give them a must-have position.
So, other than...
Well, what are you doing with Teron Armstead? He just retired.
Well, they drafted Patrick Paul. He played a little last year, so he'll be the guy. So they are desperate for defensive tackle help unless they trade for one before the draft. They cannot take a quarterback at 13.
Yeah.
That's nuts.
Zero chance.
Yeah. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's why I was like... The Dolphins don't make any sense. I haven't heard them at all. Did he say Shedeur Sanders, or is he just leaving it open for interpretation?
No, it's Shedeur Sanders. Yep.
Yeah, no, I think Shedeur is Giants or slip. He's going to either go 3 to the Giants or he's going to fall. Now, who would draft him? I don't know. I've heard Steelers like Jackson Dart, so that's a name to keep for the Steelers. And I've heard Saints could do a couple different things. Including Dart and not in the first round for Quinn Ewers, but I've heard Quinn Ewers could be an option in a second. I had two teams tell me yesterday Tyler Shuck is a real possibility to go, if not 2-3. So I don't know. There's some. It's. I've said this before. If it's an interesting situation for Joe Shane, the general manager for the Giants, because he appears to be dead man walking. He and Brian Daboll. But if you go with Russell Wilson and you win 8 games, you're getting fired. If you go with Shedeur Sanders and you win with 8 games, you have a plausible argument that, hey, we're headed in the right direction. This guy, I'm assuming if you win 8 games, Shedeur plays pretty well. And so if you draft a young quarterback and he plays even above average, you have plausible deniability with you know, a team not – you can say, no, we're absolutely headed – in the right direction. Look at this. We're one game away from being over 500. while I don't think that's going to happen and the Giants are considered to be last place right now in terms of win totals, I think they're at 2.5. At least the Hail Mary is alive with Shedeur Sanders. It's not alive with Jameis Winston or Russell Wilson, because anything less than a winning season and you're going to get fired. They're just waiting to fire you. If you draft a quarterback, at least you have the ability to say, hey, you never know, and we were better than expected. You have that as a Hail Mary. Now, if Shedeur doesn't play well, you drafted him, or if he doesn't get a play at all, then you're cooked anyway. It's not going to matter. They're going to make the change. But that's the argument for Sanders there, even if you don't believe, because no one's going to have him graded higher than Abdul Carter, who's probably going to be there at 3. But I'm sure New England is praying Shedeur Sanders goes in the first 3 so that they can either have Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter fall to them at 4 so they don't have to draft a tight. Although they have to have a tackle too. They have no tackle. Verdarian Lowe. I mean, are you kidding me? Mm-hmm. But, yeah, the draft's starting to get a little bit interesting. Kelvin Banks could go higher than people think also. There's talk that he may be the first tackle off the board.
I know, so, right? I've seen that too.
Yeah, that's kind of out there now. That I think, you know, I talked to a team that said he looks – it's not on tape, but there are people who think that he is the safest left tackle. There's not a safe left tackle, but they think that he's the safest of the left tackles over Will Campbell. There are some teams who just will not consider Will Campbell because he's got sub-33 arms, and they just won't consider it. So prepare for that.
So I saw, well, Warren Sharp had Kelvin Banks his number one tackle. I was like, really? Huh. That's interesting.
Well, I've got him tied. I got the same grade with Will Campbell, but I've got both of them. Typically, they'd be, you know, 18 to 24 in most drafts. But this year is a weak draft.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-3776. Anybody on hold, Sean?
Nope, open line.
Okay. All right, well, let's break it.
Hold on. I want to bring something up just real quick that we can talk about on the other side.
Okay.
But there's a former player, Chris Jenkins, a former NCAA basketball player who is suing the NCAA because he didn't get to make money. And I was just like, well, but if that's not the rule back then, how can you So we'll take a look at if he has a case or not, because I can tell you this, the NCAA gets bankrupt if he wins, because now everybody, you might as well do a class action.
Everybody in history, everybody in history, you got to pay them for their that wasn't the rules then. I mean, goodness gracious, Chris Jenkins. Well, Chris Jenkins must be hurting, and he's like, I know how I can make money.
9 years ago is when that happened.
I'll sue you. I'll sue everybody. HRP, okay? You don't want to be sued by an employee. You just don't. You do not want to be sued by an employee. So do HR right. And HRP does it right. HRP has handled some of our cases when we, you know, you have an employee that has to go. HRP will tell you how it's got, what's got to go down. There's rules. There's regulation. I mean, the EEOC, you don't want them on you, okay? So HRP crosses the T's and dots the I's and does everything that you need to do to make sure that you do that you do take care of any problems at your business place properly, okay? That's what they do. That's important. You don't know HR. You're not an HR guy. As a matter of fact, you're maybe a little bit aggressive. No. You may be. So you don't need to handle this. You need somebody who's professional to handle this. You need professional at payroll as well. You don't do that. That's not your business. That's not what you sell. That's not your widget. That's not your service. You don't know it as well as they do. They're great at it. You are not. So let them do it. Let them do your taxes as well, because they're great at that too. So, listen, your business is humming along, but you know what? May not be as good as it could be. Let HRP come and give you a free evaluation. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. All right, we're back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Lance is live out at Highland Pines.
And your old stomping grounds.
Yeah, I love it. No, not my old stomping grounds. It's still my stomping grounds.
Still have a membership here?
Yeah, I'm still a member there.
Okay.
Yep, but I'm a...
They let you stay?
Yeah, I'm a traveling... I'm a out-of-town member.
You're a traveler.
Yeah, I'm a traveler. I am. I'm a nomad. right now. But but you are going to pretty soon.
Yeah.
You're going to have the.
We're
the
right
pastor
now.
There,
look on
is
the.
Pastor? Okay.
Do you not see the video? Yeah, Pastor Don Gibson is here right now. Yeah. Who is the lead pastor at Mercy Gate Church. And we're out here at your golf tournament today. Tough night. I mean, tough morning for us here.
Oh, rough morning.
On the
very
sports
rough.
World.
Very,
you
very
watched
rough.
The game as well.
I did.
Yeah.
Heartbreaker.
That was a tough one. But you live by the sword, you die by the sword.
100% true. We've won a lot of games that way this year. And so, you know, we honestly shouldn't have beat Duke.
Yeah.
Glad we did, but came up a little short last night.
Well, tell us about what you're doing here. This is a really good setup. Great. I guess I was here last year playing golf with you, John, and it's a beautiful course. It's a beautiful area out here. How long have you been doing this golf tournament with Mercy Gate Church?
This is our third year, and we're in partnership with an organization that's called Convoy of Hope, mm-hmm. where Convoy of Hope is really one of the first people on the scenes if there's a disaster around the world. They're also part of one of the largest feeding organizations to feed children, mm-hmm. Empower women to be able to start businesses. And then one of the things I love most is they will go into a country and really find crops that will grow in those countries so that people can be self-sustaining instead of relying on others. And so one of the things that we look at them is that they truly bring hope, but at the same time, they bring a hand up and not just a hand out. And so I've partnered with that organization for over 25 years. Love it. And so as a team, we thought, man, we have so many golfers in our church. Let's just do a little, let's just put together a little fundraising golf tournament to do it and have some fun.
Yeah.
And out of that, it's kind of blown up into this in 3 years that, you know, sold out weeks ago. Some great sponsors and really have been able to merge business who want to do something that bring value and help others and assist others along with those in our church. And so it's really just been a very cool event.
This is your third year doing this. You said the growth has been just unbelievable how quick it's happened.
Yeah, it's been very,
what do you,
very
what do
fast.
You, what do you attribute that to?
Relationships. Really and truly.
I mentioned Tim Schumacher to you. John and I are our old friend for years and years. He's out here. I said hi to him. You knew exactly who I was talking about.
Oh, 100%. It's just, you know, it's relationships. I was telling someone earlier, they said, how do you know this person? I said, listen, everything out here is 2 to 3 degrees from separation.
That's true.
I know somebody who knows 2 or 3 other people.
It's like the whole city of Houston somehow. It's the smallest big city I have ever encountered.
It really is. I've lived in some other big cities, you know, like our friends to the north.
To the north,
And it's not the same. Houston is a huge city, but you're just a couple relationships away from knowing others. And so that's how this began. We asked a few of the people who attended the church, who own businesses, work in businesses, and said, hey, what do you think? And they're like, we'll invite our friends. And so 3 years later, sold out, looking to in the future to make it a 2-day event instead of just a 1-day event.
Oh, yeah.
And so, so it's just been absolutely
a
blast.
So you do have plans to expand and get bigger.
Absolutely. Yeah. We would love to do a 2-day event and do what I would love to be able to begin to put together is do something like we're doing right now for the where we've partnered with gas and oil a lot, but we have a ton of relationships in the medical district downtown. And so to do some relationships and partnerships there for another day. And so just do a back-to-back day tournament.
Well, you have so many natural disasters now across the world and weather-related issues that it can have an impact on, you know, drought, severe droughts on crops and stuff like that. I would imagine Convoy of Hope is something that is having to also get bigger and expand just to be able to keep up with what their vision is.
They are. They really do. And, you know, when we had Hurricane Harvey here, we ended up being a shelter there at our church. We housed 700 people, you know.
For how long?
For about 10 days.
Yeah.
And so, but some great, great organizations were just absolutely tapped out, and they said, you know, we can't help you. And I said, that's okay. I have an organization I've been in relationship with. And I made one phone call, and we became a staging center for Chambers, all of Chambers County. and even reaching into Harris County, that side on the east side of Houston. And our county judges were calling saying, Donald, you're getting stuff we can't get. How? And I said, through Convoy of Hope. And so they were just
there.
Oh,
so you knew about it. You've known about them. That was seven years ago.
Yeah. And so I've known about Convoy. I've been sponsoring them and being a part of what they're doing for about 25 years. But the thing was, I never thought I would need them.
Right.
You know, I just thought it was something I would give to and see them do things all around the world. But, you know, whenever you needed them, I made that phone call. And they, I mean, they were there in 24 hours.
Wow, and that's so quite good to have that relationship.
It was great to have that relationship for our community.
So what do you? So now that you have that, so they're growing. You want to continue to grow. What about people who are listening right now? So they're not playing here. It's a great silent auction. I notice you got some.
Oh yeah,
you got some pretty. If you're a college football fan, Vince Young, Jamar Chase, Johnny Manziel jerseys. There's an Earl Campbell. So good. I'm going to go take a look at the silent auction, which is a big part of every golf tournament, obviously. But what do you? For people who are listening right now who would like to get involved with Convoy of Hope or sponsoring them or helping in any way, shape, or form, what should they do listening?
Absolutely. They can go to Convoy of Hope's website, and it'll tell you everything there. There's ways to give, to sponsor, to participate, be involved. They go to mercygatechurch.com if they want to go that route. One of the best things that we offer for our business people is – if they give through the church, they remain anonymous, mm-hmm. so that any organization can't just keep coming back to them.
Oh, is that a problem? Is that
and it's not with Convoy,
right?
But with other organizations, it is. It can be. Convoy is incredibly respectful, and so that's one of the reasons why I partner with them. The other thing that's incredible about Convoy is the power to multiply. They'll take a dollar and turn it into five or six.
Mm-hmm. The website is convoyofhope.org if you are interested. Not .com, convoyofhope.org. It's lead pastor Don Gibson from Mercy Gate Church. Well, thank you for having us out here. I wish we were here with a joyous, momentous national championship for the city of Houston, the University of Houston.
Oh, man, me too.
All their fans, but it didn't happen that this time, but – we all go through adversity.
That's it.
Our adversity is pretty easy.
Yeah, it is.
Compared to what Convoy of Hope is doing. So, anyway, absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us. Good luck and continuing to grow the tournament as well.
Hey, thank you.
All right, Pastor Don Gibson from Mercy Gate Church and convoyofhope.org. That's convoyofhope.org if you'd like to get involved.
Yep.
So that is and, John, too bad you can't be out here because this is your turn. Man, this course
that's my peeps. I got to get out there. I wish I was there.
It's a huge – I remember now being out here at the tournament last year. This is a huge, huge area in terms of where you have all the seating, the tables and everything. My gosh, this place could house – I'm sure they have wedding receptions here.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got to. I mean, this is perfect for a wedding reception.
Yeah. Well, you just talked about Chris Jenkins. We will get to that on the other side. Maybe John Daspit could sue the NCAA for him.
Maybe. Maybe if the NCAA ran him off a road in an 18-wheeler, he could. Maybe he could do that. That's, you know, I don't know. Maybe there's a case here that John could take on, as a matter of fact. I don't know. John's worked with athletes before. It wouldn't be the first time. I know this, though. When it comes to having someone who is going to do the very best at pursuing justice for the injured, it's John Daspit, and he understands that there's a bad reputation for a lot of personal injury lawyers. When you meet him, it's one of the first things he wants to do is separate himself from them. He says, look, what we do is we're not trying to get in there, get you signed up, get a settlement scratched out real quick, take a little commission and move on to the next one. We're actually trying to do good for people who have been hurt and have been injured. And, you know, they work with their contingency, and so they only get paid for what they do in a winning settlement. And so they want to win for you, and they're going to win big for you. And that's what they want to do is make sure that if you are injured and you're not going to be able to work, you need to get that money. because that's what your family relies on for paying bills. If you have hospital bills stacking up because of someone else's negligence, that's all going to be taken care of. If you're worried about going to see a doctor because you don't have insurance, John Daspa says, no. We're going to go, and you're going to get everything checked out, because anything that has happened where you were injured, the insurance company needs to pay for that and fix it, because it was not your fault. And it, having someone like that on your side who's very good and stands up to the insurance companies, that's absolutely what you need to have. And that's the John Daspa difference. That's DaspaLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW, or go to DaspaLaw.com.